Today's daf is Nida daf Nun Beis. We are holding on the top of daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Tinokas, and then we're going back to actual Nida topics, to the maturation of a girl and the various halachas that apply when a girl or a boy matures to a certain stage in life. So back to those Mishnahs after the whole series of Mishnahs that had absolutely nothing to do with Nida. So Tinokas Sheviya Shtei Saros Ochalatzas Omasevemes. If a girl has Shtei Saros, she has two hairs, so then she's eligible to do chalitza or yibum. The chayev is called mitzvah samurus b'torah. Not only chalitza or yibum, she could do any mitzvah in the Torah. She's a bas mitzvah, so she's able to do any mitzvah in the Torah, and she's chayev in every mitzvah in the Torah. The chayin tinok shevi shtei saros chayev called mitzvah samurus b'torah. The same is true by a boy. Once he reaches the stage of shtei saros, he could do any mitzvah in the Torah. He's chayev to do every mitzvah in the Torah. V'ra'oi liyos ben sorer mora mishiyavi shtei saros ad sheyakiv zaken atachtam v'loha elyon el shtubacham v'loshanakiyah. He's also eligible to be ben sorer mora from the moment he hits godless, from the time he has shtei saros, but unlike all the other mitzvahs in the Torah, where it's from then on for the rest of his life, ben sorer mora has a window, and that window of time is only until yakiv zaken, until his beard is complete. So the Mishnah explains, when we say beard, we don't mean beard, it means hatachton v'lo elyon, it means in the pubic area, not in the facial area. El shedibur chum lashon nekiyah, but the chum didn't refer to that directly. They called it a zakan because the chacham always speak in a lashon nekiyah, in a cleaner lashon. So therefore, they use euphemisms when describing that area. But that's the period of time within which he's able to become a ben sorer mora. Tinokas sheviyah shtei saros ein yichal lema'ein. A girl who has shtei saros is no longer able to do meal. Let's say her father died and her mother or brother married her off to somebody, so that's a kiddushin midrabanan. She has the ability to do miyun, to beg out of that marriage, since the marriage is not a daraisa marriage anyway, but that's only while she's still a katana, while she's still not yet shtei saros. Once she's heavy shtei saros though, so she's already a gedola, the marriage becomes daraisa, she's no longer able to do miyun. Rabbi Yudah omer ad shir ba shachar. Rabbi Yudah says no, she has a little bit of a longer time to do miyun. She's able to do miyun until yir ba shachar, until the black is greater. So what does that mean? So Rashi's gear says like we have it, ad shir ba shachar, and not ad shir ba shachar al halavan. And Tosfos Maseches explains that if it would have said ad shir ba shachar al lavan, that would imply that there is shachar and lavan, and there's more shachar than there is lavan. And then Gemara we're going to see today, Rav Chista is going to say in the Marukva, lo shir ba shachar mamish al kadeshu shtei saaros shachvos v'niros kimi shir ba shachar al lavan. The yir ba shachar doesn't mean literally more shachar than anything else. It just means two sizable pieces of hair that don't only stick up but actually lie down, and it looks like there's more shachar than lavan. However, Tosfos Maseches Ksuvos quotes a shita of Rabbeinu Chananel, Ksuvos Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, that Sa'aros HaSamuch LeBasar, the part of the hair that's closer to the flesh is darker, and then the tips of the hair are whiter. It's more lavan. So when Rabbi Yudah says you need more, and that's what Rabbi Yudah is saying, that there has to be longer hair, ad sheyir ba shachar lavan shebarosh haseir, till you have more shachar than you have lavan at the tips of the hair. It grows out enough that the shachar is bigger than the lavan. Now, with that approach, it's going to be harder to understand what Rav Chista says that shtei saros shochvos v'niros kami sheyir ba shachar lavan. The Shita Mugvatz explains what Rabbi Nachmanel is going to say, that it means that you only need two hairs, but you need those two hairs to be very long, because so long as they're not shochvos, they're not long enough. And that's what he means, that shochvos is kamishi yir ba'ashachar al ha'alavan. So more visible hairs. Says the Gemara, v'kivin t'tan chayev is b'chol mitzvah samurus b'torah. So once you tell me that when she has shtei saros, she's chayev in all mitzvahs in the Torah, ochal etzes ha'mesev emes lamali, why do you then have to also add that she could do chalitza or yibum? Aren't those just examples of mitzvahs in the Torah? So even though we mentioned that even before we mentioned b'chol mitzvah samurus b'torah, but why? Why give those examples? Just tell me she's chayev in all the mitzvahs in the Torah. answers the Gemara Lafuki mit Rabbi Yossi, to come tell me not to say like Rabbi Yossi. The Omer Ish Kasuv Beparsha, Aval Isha Ben Gadol Ben Katana. By the Parsha of Chalitza and Yibum, it says Ish, but an Isha doesn't have to be a Gadol. Ish has to be a Gadol, but an Isha doesn't have to be a Gadol. Ben Gadol Ben Katana, Rabbi Yossi holds, she could do Chalitza or Yibum. So come Ashbulan, that's why the Mishnah has to come and tell me, no, if she's a Katana, she cannot do Chalitza or Yibum. The Icy Shtei Saros in, Ilo Lo. If she has Shtei Saros, great, let her do Chalitza or Yibum. If she does not have Shtei Saros, she may not do Chalitza or Yibum. My Taima, why? Isha ki'ish, because we say that a woman has all the same dinim that a man has. So just like a man has to be a gadol, the woman has to be a gadola in order to participate in chalitza or yibum. Fine, that's why the Mishnah had to mention chalitza and yibum separately from all other mitzvahs in the Torah. So frankly, Gemara v'kibin d'tan of v'chein atinok shevi be saros chayiv. Once the Mishnah says that a tinok also, when he has shei saros, he's also chayiv, so don't I realize that he's also chayiv means he's chayiv in all the mitzvahs? B'kol ha-mitzvah samurus b'tara lamali. Why does it have to add in that phrase, b'kol ha-mitzvah samurus b'tara, that he's chayiv in every mitzvah in the Torah? We already know that we just said a katana when she's hevi'a shtei saros, tinokas when she's hevi'a shtei saros, is chayiv b'kol ha-mitzvah samurus b'tara. So say, v'chein ha-tinok shevi'a shtei saros is chayiv. Why do you have to specify b'kol ha-mitzvah samurus b'tara? B'chi teimu mishum t'kabayi l'missim v'roi l'yos ben sor mora. Maybe you're going to tell me, no, the reason he wants to mention it is to tell me that he could to introduce the idea that he could become a Ben Sora Mora. Well, Tanin Chatazimna, I already learned that idea once already also, that he could become a Ben Sora Mora. Because it says that's a Mishnah Sanhedrin, this whole Perek Masecha Sanhedrin, called Perek Ben Sora Mora. Much of the Perek has very little to do with Ben Sora Mora, but the Mishnais have a lot to do with Ben Sora Mora. Where it describes, Amosai, that's the whole Perek about Nidan Al Shem Sofo, about a Rodef, that if someone is Bab Machteres, or you see someone who's Rodef Acher Chaveru Lahargo, that you're allowed to kill them even before they do anything to you. And why do we discuss those concepts over there? Because it starts discussing Ben Sora Mora. Ben Sora Mora is unique in that he's Nidan Al Shem Sofo, that you kill him before he actually does anything for which he deserves to die. The Ramban on the Alat Torah says that Ben Sora Mora, Edim Zom, and there are a few halachos in the Torah where we kill people. He gives four examples where we kill people not based on the crime they committed. And he says we're killing people in those situations to make an example for the rest of Klal Yisrael to see that it's not about what they have done. So in that context, in the Mishnayis in Masech Sanhedrin, Amosai ben Sora Mora, the Mishnah says, when does one become ben Sora Mora? Mishayavi shtei saros v'yachshayakav zaken hatachton v'lo elyon l'shudu b'cham b'loshu nekiyah. So you see explicitly we already have this halacha in the Mishnah. Why do I need our Mishnah to introduce it? Enochinami, Elaidi de Parish Mili de Tinokas, Kamafarish Katnami, Mili de Tinok. Enochinami, it's not necessary. But once we say the Mili de Tinokas, once we say everything there is to say about a girl's maturation, we say everything there is to say about a boy's maturation as well, for the sake of consistency, to keep it to keep the discussion complete. But Enochinami, it's not really necessary in our Mishnah. Fine, weiter. The Mishnah said, Tinokas, Shevia. If a girl has shtei saros, it's now too late to do miyun according to the Tanakama. Rabbi Yehuda says she could still do miyun ad sheyir ba shachar. Amar Rabbi Yavoh, Amar Rabbi Lazar, halacha Rabbi Yehuda, that we hold like Rabbi Yehuda that ad sheyir ba shachar she could still do miyun. Umod Rabbi Yehuda shim nival halacha sheviyah shtei saros shuvein yichal lemayin. But even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that if she has bia after she has shtei saros, then the kiddushin becomes a kiddushin d'oraisa, and she's not able to do miyun anymore. At that point, she loses the ability to do miyun. All Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that she has a window of time after becoming a gedola to still do miyun, so long as her kiddushin remains a kiddushin midrabanan. But once she has bia after she's maybe shtei saros, then the kiddushin becomes a kiddushin d'oraisa, and you need a get. Miyun will not get rid of the marriage. So the reason is Rabbi Yehuda is moda that when she's heavy shtei saros, she's already a gedola. Meaning, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that she is a gedola when she's heavy shtei saros. That's the pashtus. That when Rabbi Yehuda says ad shir ba'ashachar, he's not giving a different shir of when she becomes a gedola. No, she's a gedola when she's heavy shteisaros, and therefore, as soon as she has bia as a gedola, that's going to be the kiddushin. That's what the Ramban writes, that even if you hold that afil kishenivala ainu mekadeshes, you're definitely moda that lekuli alma, that if she's maybe shteisaros, she's a gedola, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree that heavy shteisaros is chayv b'chol mitzvahs b'torah. Rabbi Yehuda had no problem with the reisha of the Mishnah. He kept his mouth shut when the Mishnah said that heavy shteisaros, she's chayv b'chol mitzvahs b'torah. He agrees to that. And furthermore, Rabbi Yossi is going to say later on that she could do miyun ad shetakif ha'atara. So if you're going to say that that's because she's not a gedola until that point, it turns out that according to Rabbi Yossi, there's no such thing as narus, because takif ha'atara is one of the simane bagrus. So if you're going to say that the definition of when she could do miyun is when she's no longer a katana, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying, oh, she's a katana until Yar Ba'ashachar, and Rabbi Yossi would be saying she's a katana until takif ha'atara, then Rabbi Yossi's shita would be crazy. It would be a shita that there's no such thing as being a nara, which can't be. The Torah talks about a nara, because we know takif ha'atara is one of the shirim of Bogeras. So what's the machlokas over here? So the machlokas is that if she's boel before she's Yar Ba'ashachar, whether she's able to be mayin, the Ramban explains, the machlokas is about machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, is whether a person knows that ein kiddushei katana klum, that and therefore when he's boel after she already becomes a gedola, is he being boel l'shem kiddushin, or do we say ein adam yodei l'shem kiddushei katana klum, and therefore when he's boel he's not being boel l'shem kiddushin because he assumes he was already mekadesh, or he has no idea that his kiddushin was ineffective previously. But everyone agrees she definitely becomes a gedola when she has shteisaros. The whole issue is, that's how the Ramban understands, the whole issue is he being mekadesh her anew after she has shteisaros and he's being boel her? The Rabbi Yehuda holds he must realize that the kiddushin as a katana is not binding kiddushin, and therefore he's doing a new kiddushin with the bia. Whereas the Tanakama holds, no, he has no idea. He thought the first kiddushin was good, and he's just viewing this bia as a continuation of that kiddushin, and therefore he's not doing a kiddushin midah oraisa over here. So that's Ramban. Tosfos Maseches Basra disagrees. Tosfos Maseches Basra Daf Kufin and Vav Amud Aleph writes that it's not clear that Rabbi Yehuda is only arguing about miyun. It could be he's cholik and holds that she doesn't become a gedola at all ad shiir ba'ashachar. That yir ba'ashachar is a new shiir in gadlus. So the Mishnah Lemelech asks a whole bunch of kashas and tells us in Ishus Perek Beis Halacha Beis. Mishnah Lemelech brings a lot of rayas from Gemaros Mefurashos that you can't say that Rabbi Yehuda holds she's not a gedola even after hevi shtei saros. One of them is the Gemara we had earlier in this Masechta on Chavavan Beis, where we say kol makom sheyesh miyun ein chalitza. So the Gemara says, yes, zu divrei Rabbi Meir, but the Chacham say yesh miyun b'makom chalitza, that a girl could still do miyun even at a stage where she's already able to do chalitza. And the Gemara says, yeah, that's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that she could even do miyun until Yir Ba'ashachar. Wait a second, that means that she's able to do chalitza. Even she's able to do chalitz already, and she's still able to do miyun. So if you want to tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds she's not a gedola until Yir Ba'ashachar, then why is she able to do chalitza? A katana can't do chalitza. So that's one of the major rayas against Shitas HaTosfos, like the Shita of the Ramban, that Rabbi Yehuda must hold she has a full status of a gedola once it's Shtei Sa'aros, and the whole reason that she can still do miyun is because we assume that she doesn't have a real kiddushin yet. We give her a window of time where she's able to do the miyun. So the Gemara tells some stories now. Chavroi de Rav Kahana Savalim Avruvda Krabi Yehuda V'yafakav de Nivala. Rav Kahana's Chavro wanted a paskin like Rabbi Yehuda that up until Yir Ba'ashachar she could still do miyun even though she already had bia, which is not what Rabbi Yehuda said. They wanted to go even further and say even if she had bia she could still do miyun. So that's the shita that we were explaining before, that they hold that the Ramban explains that they hold that that the person doesn't realize that in kiddushei ketana klum, so his bia is not l'shem kiddushin. So Amar Lo Rav Kahana, lo kach hayu maisa bebitel shel Rabbi Yishmael. Didn't the story happen once that the daughter of Rabbi Yishmael, shebasal beis hamedrash lema'in, came to the beis hamedrash? Rabbi Yishmael had died, and her mother and brother married her off to some guy, and she comes to the beis hamedrash to do miyun. Ubanam morkav la'al k'seifa. Not only does she have shtei saros, she already had a baby. So ubanam morkav la'al k'seifa. Va'osa yom huskru devarav shel Rabbi Yishmael beis hamedrash. And that very same day, they mentioned Rabbi Yishmael shita in the beis hamedrash. Ubachsa b'chia gedola b'beis hamedrash, and she cried. Or rabsa b'chia gedola. Not that she cried, but they cried in the beis hamedrash. They screamed in the beis hamedrash. Amru davar shamar osel tzaddik yikashal b'lzaro. Something that tzaddik Rabbi Yishmael himself paskin. His own child isn't going to know. I guess the tragedy of losing a parent at a young age. You don't even know your own parents' shitos. You don't even know your own family traditions. She didn't even know that her own father's psak was that it's too late for her to do miyun. Because what did Rabbi Yishmael say? V'hilo nitbisa asura. That a girl will become asura to her husband if she sleeps with another man and she wasn't raped. Hanitbisa muteres. But if a girl is raped by another man, she's still muteres to her husband. But v'yesh lecha acheres af b'shalo nitbisa muteres. But there is one type of girl where even if she has not been raped, she was willfully engaged in an act of bia, she's still going to be muteres to her husband. Vezu zusha kidusha kidushe tos. That's talking about a girl who had kidushe tos. She never had real kidushin. Shaf plisha benam morkav la'al k'seifa mema enes v'olechasla. Even if she has benam morkav la'al k'seifa, she already has a baby, so she can still be mema'in. Now we seem to have taken a jump over here from talking about an eishes ish who was mezana to miyun. What does one have to do with the other? So Rashi dibra maskel v'hi, when on halfway through he writes v'yeshcha cheresh afilu zinsa shelo ba'ones muteres lebalu lebo'el, that a girl sometimes could not be raped and still she's going to be muter both to the baal and the bo'el. Ve'ezu zusha kidusha kidushe tos kigon al menasha ani kohen v'areu Yisrael. It's where there was a mistaken premise in the kiddushin. Ukigon kitana, and another example of an invalid kiddushin is where it was kiddushe kitana dein masa klum v'imanami in biyadalakacha, where her own acceptance of kiddushin doesn't mean anything. Her mother midah oraisa does not have the ability to give her off to kiddushin. So that's where, in both of those situations, we say even if we know for sure that she had bia, benam morkav la'al k'seifa mema enes v'alechasla, she could go and do the miyun. We don't assume that the bios that she had when she was a gedola is considered a real kiddushin. She still is eligible to do the miyun. So Rabbi Shmuel seems to be saying that it's okay. Benam morkav al k'seifa's daughter coming back with the benam morkav al k'seifa. It's not that she was nichshal in going against her father shita. No, adraba, she was going exactly like her father shita. It was still sad because her father was speaking in the beis medrash when Nebuch, you have a little girl who doesn't know her right from left, and she has kiddushin with one guy and she sleeps with another, or she sleeps with the guy after the age of 12, and it's a Nebuch, a sad situation that a girl's father died and she's been given off to some guy and she's sleeping with him. So that's the sadness that the daughter is experiencing, this halacha that was said in the theoretical in the beis medrash, and she's experiencing it. But then v'nimnu v'gamru, and they came together and they voted, and masa habas me'enes at shtavish te saros. When could a girl be mine for only until tavish te saros? So parash v'lo avadovda. So they decided they're not going to paskin that like Rabbi Yehuda anymore. They're only going to paskin at shtavish te saros, and that's it. Even though we have this tradition that Rabbi Yehuda would hold the ad sheyakiv ad sheir ba'ashachar, and even though Rabbi Shmuel holds that counts even if she's already had bia, no, they took a vote and they decided they're going to be much more conservative in their approach, and it's only at Shiavish Te Saros and no further. Rabbi Yitzchak and Talmidei Rabbi Chanina, Avruv de Rabbi Yehuda v'Alfgav de Nivela. Rabbi Yitzchak and Talmidei Rabbi Chanina would pass on like Rabbi Yehuda that it's ad Shir ba'ashachar, even if she already had bia. Ozer Rav Shem Barab Amar Karmid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rav Shem Barab told this Rabbi Yochanan. Ozer Rabbi Yochanan Amar Karmid Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Rabbi Yochanan reported this Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Shadr Bil Shavavkua. So Rabbi Yehuda Nesia quickly sent a group of people to make sure that she does not stay married to the new husband that she had based on the miyun that she did on the first husband, because that miyun is invalid, Rabbi Yehuda Nesia held, because after all she's already had bia, she already had shtei saros and bia. So he said no, we cannot allow her to get remarried based on that. Amar of Chista Amar Marukva. So new issue over here. When we say Ad Shir Ba Shachar, so what does it mean? Lo Shir Ba Shachar Mamish. Physically, it doesn't mean that there's more Shachar than there is anything else. Al Kadei Shushtei Sar Shachar Sinuos Kamo Shir Ba Shachar Al Lavan. It just means that there have to be two sizable pieces of hair, and that's it. Rava Amar Shtei Sar Samakifos Misaf Al Safa. Rava says the two saros have to extend from one edge to the other. Amar Bichel Ba Amar Av Huna. Shtei Sar Sam Sark Shibi Karan Gumos. These Shtei Saros require gumos, they require what's the word I'm looking for, the holes that the hair, there's a better word for it, that the hair comes out of, right? They're the that sometimes even if there's no hair, you can see the holes that hair is supposed to grow out of. So these shtei saros, they need to have gumos at the ikar. So the Bach writes that since we're not Beki and Begumos, so we can't be Matir Nisha to do Chalitza until we see Riboy Sa'aros. We cannot be Somech on Shtei Sa'aros. We have to be afraid that maybe those Shtei Sa'aros don't have Gumos. Only once we see a lot of hair and we're very confident that she's a Gedola can we allow Chalitza. But the Taz disagrees. It says, that which we're not Beki and Begumos, that's only Begumos that don't have Sa'aros. Where we're Choshesh that maybe from the time that she reached 12 years, maybe there were Gumos, and that needs a great Beki to figure out what qualifies as gumos and what not. But if you have hairs so that have gumos, so then you know that those gumos are real gumos, and you don't have to wait till she develops any further than that. Says the Gemara, Rav Malkiyo Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, gumos afal pi shein saros. Rav Malkiyo holds if you have just gumos, even without saros, that's enough to make her a gadola. Amar Rav Chanin Breid Ravika, shvod shvachos for gumos Rav Malkiyo. There are six times in Shas where either Rav Malkiyo or Rav Malkiyah says something. In all six places, this comment is made, I think, where the Rav Chanina Breid Ravika says the comment about Shvod, the halacha about Shvachos, and the halacha about Gumos, the proper girsa is that it's Rav Malkiyo who taught those halachos. Baloris, Sefer Maklo, Gavina, the three halachos, Baloris, Sefer Maklo, and Gavina are Rav Malkiyo is the proper girsa in those places. Rav Papa, Masisa, Masisa, Rav Malkiyo, that anything having to do with the Tanakh teaching is Rav Malkiyo. Shmait Rav Malkiyo, any just Meim Rav Amoraim, that would be Rav Malkiyo. The Simana Masnisa Malchus, and the way to remember that is Masnisa Malchus, or Malkiya is sounds more of a feminine, so Malchusa Masnisa, it relates to the Tanaim. My Binai, what's the difference whether you say it's an issue of Tanaim versus Amoraim, or you say the first way we said it? Ika Binai Shvachos. The Nafkamina would be that Rav Papa switches Shvachos for Rav Malkiya and Ephraim Malka for Ephraim Makla for Rav Malkiyo. So the lists would look a little bit different according to the two different shitos. But let's focus on what he said. What did he say over here about Gumos? That Gumos afal pishein saros. There is the following chakira that the Rishonim get involved in, but the Achronim formulate as a chakira. What is this simon of Gumos according to Rav Ada Bar Ava? Is it, you could say on the one hand, that which you have Gumos is not a simon itself for Godless, but you need shtei saros. It's just that when you have Gumos, that's mochiach, that those saros are genuine saros, and it's not just a shuma bialma, that those are real hairs. It's not that the Gumos themselves are the simon of Godless, the saros are the simon of Godless, the Gumos are megala, that those are real saros. Or you could say that Rav Ada Bar Ava holds that there's another simon legadlus, and that is gumos. That if you have gumos, that itself is a simon legadlus. Now in the Chidush Aran, he writes that the halacha zak Rav Ada Bar Ava, that even gumos below seyar is a simon. And he says the whole machlokas bin Tanoim, what is a shir of shtei saros, is no nafkamina if there are gumos. Once you have gumos, that alone is going to work, and you don't even need any hairs of any length whatsoever. So that whole machlokas about how long the hairs have to be is only if you happen to not have gumos. So it seems apparently from the Ran that he understands Rav Ada Bar Ava saying that the guma itself is a simin on its own. That he says, with a guma, without any hairs, even if there never were hairs, doesn't matter. You don't need the hairs. The guma itself is the simin. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Yishus Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin, and this is according to Shulchan Aruch Ebenezer Kufnun Hay, see if Tez Zayin says that if there are gumos without hairs, that it's a simin because Chazaka, that there's no such thing as a guma without hairs, so there must have once been hairs here, and they have just simply fallen out. So the way the Rambam seems to understand it is, the siman of gadlus is not the guma. The siman of gadlus is the hairs. When there's a guma, it's mochiach that there must have been hairs there once, and that's why you can rely on the gumos themselves. That's what the Rambam seems to say. Now in the Avnei Nezer, in Avnei Ezer, Reish Tes Vav, Osiyot Tes, he asks that according to the Rambam, that the gumos are only a siman for sa'aros, and they're not a siman for gadlus themselves, how does it help? Even if you know that each of these gumos once had a hair, isn't it possible that the hairs were not there at the same time? That one guma had a hair, then it fell out, and then the other guma grew a hair? That they weren't there at the same time? And it's pashut, says Yavni Nezer, that in order to be a gadola, you need both hairs there at the same time. That's clear in the Rishonim in Bab Basra, and the beginning of Cheskas Habatim, where we describe how one establishes a Cheskas Gimel Shanim. So the Mishnayos over there talk about davar v'lo chatzi davar. Let's say you have Edim that you were there for 1 year, and then another set of Edim you're there for another year, and then another, right? Does that work? Is each one considered Edus? So in that context, we discuss that you have to be made on everything you're able to see at one time. Achas bekresa v'achas begaba. When each one is made on one hair, one is made on one hair that's bekresa, another eid is made on another hair that's al gaba. That's a chatzi davar because no one is being made on the whole thing. So over here also, when there are no sa'aros together at the same time, so obviously that no one's able to be made on a davar shalim. Everyone's only being made on a chatzi davar because they were never there at the same time. So obviously you need them to be there at the same time. So how's the Ram going to deal with that? How is gumos a good enough simon? So says the Avnei Nezer, if you see gumos, then you know that there were shtei saros. Then you don't. The next step is you don't have to be choshesh that those shtei saros were there at different times. Once you have a chazaka that there were shtei saros, it's far fetched to assume that they weren't there at the same time. So that you can rely enough on a chazaka that they were there at the same time. The whole reason we don't rely on chazaka derava that katana that reached shanim also has simanim is because she has a chazaka de meikara that she never had hairs. We have nothing showing us that she ever had hairs. But over here, so it's only a suffix. But over here, we know that she had hairs. So the chazaka derava is going to carry the day and say that she must have had the hairs at the same time. It turns out another nafkamina between the Ran and the Rambam. According to the Ran, the gumos themselves are the simen. So the Ran would hold, even if they have hairs, and we see that those hairs aren't big enough, she's a gadola, because there are gumos, and the gumos themselves are the simen. Whereas according to the Rambam, no, gumos, you could just assume the stomach, she had hairs that were long enough. But let's say you see that there are hairs in these gumos, and the hairs aren't long enough. They're not yirba shachar length hairs. So according to the Rambam, yeah, gumos are an indication of hairs, but I see the hairs, and they're not long enough, and therefore she would not be a gadola. Which of course begs the question that the Achronim ask, well, then why does the Rambam rely on gumos? Even if gumos are a simon of hairs, maybe the hairs weren't long enough. So you have to say, like we said before, that mistama, the hairs were long enough. Normally when there are gumos, the hairs were long enough. But if you see with your own eyes that they're not long enough, so then you know that she's not a gadola, in the view of the Rambam. Okay, Vaitu in the Gemara now. First, very wide line. Amar Rav Ashi, Amar Li Marzutra, Kasha Bar Rabbi Chanina Misura, Lo Lashtam Atan of Ashmin Gumos. How come none of the Mishnayos ever mentioned a word about Gumos? It's, we need an Amor to come and teach me this din of Gumos. So, Yashmin Gumos, have me not choose Shtei Soros B'Shtei Gumos. Kamashmon, that feels Shtei Soros B'Gumachas. Had the Mishnayos mentioned Gumos, and this is very difficult to understand the Shakla Vitari, the Maram has a totally different Pshat than Rashi over here, because the answer doesn't seem to answer the question. But the way the Pasha Pshat sounds like it's answering the question is that if it would have told me the din of gumos in a Mishnah, then I would have thought that you need shtei sa'aros b'shtei gumos. You need two hairs in two different gumos. So kamashmalan, that even shtei sa'aros in one guma is good enough. You don't need two different gumos. Even a single hole that has two hairs growing out of it would be enough for simanei gadlus. Frakta gemara miyika ki agavna. Can that even happen that you can have two hairs growing out of a single spot? Va'aksiv asher b'sa'ari yishufani v'hir b'pitzai chinam. Eov discusses how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or laments that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes him for no reason. With the word Sa'ara, he was Mecharef, he blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and with the word Sa'ara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to him. Except the word Sa'ara means two different things. Sa'ara with a Samach means like a storm, and Sa'ara with a sin means a hair. But we're associating them with each other. said, Ribbono Shel, maybe you were in a bad mood. There was Ruach Sar lefanecha. You allowed the Malachi Chavala out or something. And therefore, you got confused between Eov, the great tzaddik Eov, me, and Oyev, an enemy of the Almighty. Maybe you got confused between the two. So, Besari Shivu, Hashem responded using Sa'ara. Vayana Hashem as Eov mina Sa'ara vayomer. He says, you moron, I've created so many little follicles, so many little holes in the person's head where hairs can grow out of. Each hair follicle has its own guma, separate guma, where no two hairs on a person's head are yonik from the same guma. And if it were to happen that two would be yonik from the same guma, it would ruin a person's eyesight. So guma b'guma lo neschalifli, Eov ba'oyev neschalifli. I haven't messed up two follicles on a single human being's head, and you think I got confused between Eov and Oyev? How could I have such a confusion? So bottom line, why are we quoting all this? Because you see that two hairs can't grow out of the same hole. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam's whole point was, that two hairs can't grow out of the same hole. Says Gemara, lo kasha, habugufa habareisha. Now that's on the head, but hairs on the other part, on other parts of the body, can grow out of the same hole. It's only hairs on the head that can't. Of all the mishalim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give to explain to Eov that he doesn't make mistakes and he doesn't overlook things and he doesn't confuse people for each other, why a mashal of hairs? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond with hairs? So the Marsham Babash has a whole mahalik, but I thought the Chassam Sofer's mahalik resonated a little more with me. Chassam Sofer writes that there are two b'chinos ba'olam, there are two types of people. There are by tzaddikin, there's what we call Ashkacha Pratis, that every single detail of their lives is governed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making sure that every little detail of their lives is based on what exactly what they deserve. By them, it's not shayich that nispa b'lo mishpat, it's not shayich that there's going to be some sort of injustice. However, there's shar b'nei adam, there are people who aren't tzaddikim, where it could be nispa b'lo mishpat, meaning sometimes, in times of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, in times of midas hadin, like for instance by makas b'choros, lo yetze yish mi pesach beso ad boker, we couldn't leave the house. Why couldn't we leave the house? We didn't deserve to die. If we don't deserve to die, why? What's the problem? So Rashi writes that Rashi Al-Atar writes that once the melech is over b'medina, vas baklito over l'fana v'eno malchin, the troops are coming storming through town, so there will be collateral damage. So but collateral damage can only happen to someone who's not a tzaddik. So the issue is when there's sakana, you need a certain hashkachem yuchedes. You need to be a tzaddik. You need a shkacha pratis. So that's the pirush advar. Sa'aru shal rosh is a mashal to the bechinas atzadikim. Each nima has its own guma, has its own hashkacha pratis. There's no one piggybacking off of anybody else. The sa'aros and the rest of the guf is shar b'nei adam. So Eov says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe your ruach sa'ara avra lefanecha. Maybe it's like the night of Makas Becharos where the troops were just storming through town. And that was midas hadin. And therefore you got confused between Eov and Oyev. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, shota shviel. Why does he call him shota? He says, because your own argument is a stira. You're saying that you're such a big tzaddik. Well, if you're such a big tzaddik, you should be protected from my bad moods. You should be protected from a ruach sa'ara that's bali olam. So that's the mashal that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him. That lishi tascha, that you're a tzaddik and you don't deserve anything. You don't deserve anything bad to happen to you. So then you should have been protected, even if it was a ruach sa'ara. Just like the gumos and the head and the hair. The head representing the tzaddik. Tzaddikim representing the leadership of Klal Yisrael. Okay, right in the Gemara. That was our Agadah for the day. Amar Rav Dover Shmuel, Shtei Saros Shamru Afilu Achas Al Kaf Achas Al Beitzim. When we say Shtei Saros, they don't have to be right next to each other. They could be on different areas of the body. Tani Nami Achi Shtei Saros Shamru Afilu Achas Begaba Vachas Bekresa. Even one on her back and one on her stomach. That's a euphemism. Obviously, on her back and her stomach is not where the hairs are growing, but it means even in different areas. Achas Al Gabi Kishra Etzba Oseh Shal Yad Vachas Al Gabi Kishra Etzba Oseh Shal Regel. One on her knuckles of her hands and the other on her toes. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Ishkvarako Sham Mishum Rabbi Shimon. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. Rabbanan Am Rav Chista Achiu Beis Saros Makom Echad. But Rabbanan hold, no, you need the Beis Saros all in the same place. Tan Rabbanan and Masa Habasim Enes. To what age can a girl still do Miyun? Achi Tavi Shtei Saros Divra Meir. Meir still she's maybe Shtei Saros. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Achi Yirba Shachar. No, she has to be Yirba Shachar like it said in our Mishnah. Those two shitas we had in our Mishnah. Now the Braisa adds a few more. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Chetakif HaTorah. Rabbi Yossi says you have to wait till Takif HaTorah. Rashi previously said that that's not a simen by the hairs, that's a simen bedadim, that the Atara is the ukats of the dud, that it's a simen lamaila. So it's a totally different shear. It's not even, doesn't even relate to what the Tanakama, what Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda had said. The Rambam, however, says this Atara is a simen b'makam sa'aros, that it's makam basra tafuach, which we said is the malam makam ha'erva, that it's a different tak of Atara. It's not bedadim. Ben Shlokos Omer, that's a person's name, Ben Shlokos says, Ad shetechalkel. So Rashi says, I don't know what kilkel is, but maybe kilkel is, like we say in Shabbos, tzida bas tzida, which means that there's a lot of hair, like one on top of the other, that there's a ton of hair in the area. Only then can she no longer do mian. So it's a bigger shear. V'amr Rabbi Shimon, matzani chaninu min chachinai betzidan, v'amr kshatu megiye, etzal Rabbi Kiva, amr lo admasa habas me'enes. When you get to Rabbi Kiva, ask him this question, im yomil chad shtavi shtei saros, if he tells you that the shear when she has shtei saros, and Marlo, make sure that you tell him. V'alo ben shlokos hey b'mam kulchem biavna ad she tekalkel v'malo amartem lo davar. You were there when this ben shlokos said that it's until there's a ton of hair, and you didn't say anything to argue with him. Shabbatzi yitz Rabbi Kiva amrli kilkel zei niyodei mal. So I went to Rabbi Kiva. He said, I don't know what kilkel you're talking about. Ben shlokos edi makir. I don't know who in the world ben shlokos is. And masay abas menas at shtavish tei saros. You want to know what the halach is? The halach is at shtavish tei saros. So Rashi says Rabbi Kiva means to say that he doesn't hold like ben shlokos. The Aruch Liner says no. Had it not been for Rashi, he would have said that Rabbi Shimon said to Rabbi Kiva that since you were quiet, it sounds like you're moda to ben shlokos. Rabbi Kiva says no. The reason he was quiet when ben shlokos said Shita is because he didn't know what Ben Shlokos was talking about. He didn't know what kilkul means, and therefore he doesn't know he didn't know if he should be cholik on him, because he doesn't know if he argues on him. He didn't understand what he was saying. And he says also, Ben Shlokos eini makir. Now that you tell me what he does mean, I don't know if he's a reliable person. How many times did Rabbi Kiva mention Shas? How many times Ben Shlokos mentioned? Who's Ben Shlokos? A lot of times you have Amoraim that are called by names based on their shita. If they're only mentioned one time in Shas, so it's not their real name that's even being given, it's their shita. Shlokos are overcooked vegetables. Vegetables that are cooked too much, right? That's shlokos. It could very well be. Ben Shlokos is the guy about overcooking. The girl is overcooked already, meaning she's, so to speak, she's a gedola. The real halacha is by shtei saros. He says, no, until she has tons and tons of hair in that area. So that's Ben Shlokos. Let's see, next till the next mission. At least shtei saros hamurus bepara, ubinagayim, hamurus bekol makom. How large are two hairs? Both in our halacha, as well as the halacha of paraduma, that if paraduma has two black hairs, it passes it from being a paraduma. Binagayim, when they have negate saras, that have hairs growing out of it, there are various halachos. So how big do hairs have to be in order to have a din of shtei saros? V'amur s'pekal mako, k'dei loch of rosh on the ikar in divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds big enough that you could bend the end of the hair to the root. Rabbi Lezer amako, k'dei likrot v'tzipar. No, just big enough that your fingernail could catch the hair. Rabbi Akiva amako, k'dei shun nitalos b'zug. Big enough that you should be able to take it with a tweezer. You should be able to pull it off with a tweezer. Machlokes Rishonim, which is the biggest shear. But this is also Nogea. The Rishonim point out already when it comes to being Makif Peos Harosh, that the halacha is, even if you don't use a razor, we paskin, even with Misparayim Kentar, you're not allowed to cut off the Peos Harosh. You're not allowed to shave your head bald, let's say. We paskin Hakafas Kala Rosh is an Isser. So how long do the hairs have to be that remain on your head if a person wants to shave their head? So it's Machlokes Haposk him, which of these shittos we paskin like legabe hakafas harosh, because there are other lenient considerations when it comes to hakafas harosh. It may not be in this daraisa when it's hakafas kol harosh, etc. Amar chizam marukva halacha k'divrei kulam lahachmir. We paskin like all of them to be machmir. It's a question: how could you say like all of them to be machmir? The two extremes, you could be machmir, right, in one direction or the other. How could the middle shita ever be a chumrah? So I saw. We'll close with this. Mishnah Melech says that Sidre Tara rather is miyashi this kasha. He said nafkamina would be, what if a girl has the smallest shita and then someone is mekadesh her? So are you choshesh for that kiddush with shalol dasavia? Are you choshesh misafek kiddushin? Fine, so you're going to be machmir. Then she gets to the second stage, the middle shita, and someone else is mekadesh her. So if you say that you only had the extreme shita, so nothing changed between then and now, but if you're choshesh for the middle shita also, you again have to be choshesh, and maybe that's a real kiddushin as well, and need to get from that marriage as well. Okay, Mr. Shum, we'll pick up with the next mishnah tomorrow morning.